this point in the service. It's my joy, really, to preach from the Word of God. I want to read from a chapter in the Gospels, in the Gospel of John, and then I want to read from a chapter in the Epistles, one of the letters in the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And when we read the Bible, we're reading what happened, and we are reading what happens. That's the deal. When you read the Bible, you're reading what happened, because what it says about Jesus Christ and his life and his death and his resurrection actually happened on this planet. When we read the Bible, we're reading about what happened, and we're reading about what happens. You see, the Bible was never meant to be information that stays locked in history. The Bible was meant to be transformation that unlocks the present, that changes our lives, that changes the way you deal with how you live your life today, and that completely changes the way you prepare for death. The Bible was meant to change our lives. The Bible records in the Gospels what happened to Jesus. We'll read from John chapter 20 about what happened to Jesus. And the Bible records also in the epistles and the rest of the New Testament what happens to those who are in Jesus. Because being a Christian means that what happened to our Christ is happening to us. That's what it means to be in Christ. If he died, we died to sin. If he lives, we live. So we'll read from the Gospel of John about what happened to Jesus, and then we'll read from 1 Thessalonians 4 about what happens to those who are in Jesus. I want to read this scripture together, and if you have a Bible, open it up to John chapter 20. If you don't have your Bible today, that's okay, because the actual truth is that I forgot my Bible today. And I just snagged this Bible from my wife because she remembered hers. And actually, right before the, I've never done this before either, right before the service, my man Maynard, one of our ushers, he comes up to me and he's like, "Are these your sermon notes?" I go, "Maynard, where'd you get those?" He goes, "They were on the floor over there." I was like, "What?" So thankfully, Maynard gave me my sermon notes back, and I stole my wife's Bible, so I have a Bible. So we want to read the scripture together, so stand, and if you've got your Bible, open it to John 20. If you don't have a Bible, or if you are my wife, just look on to whoever's next to you. And we'll read from John chapter 20, and then we'll read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to him," listen to how she says it. She says this every time she speaks of it, so passively, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw that the linen cloths were lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him.' away. Jesus said to her, Mary, and she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said to her these things. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And turning forward to one of the epistles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. What happened to Christ happens to all those who are in Christ. And that's what it says here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. May God the Holy Spirit, who inspired these words in the past, right now in the present, illumine these words to your mind, your heart, and your soul. You may be seated. What happened to Christ happens to those who are in Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, couldn't be any clearer about that. It says, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. What happened to Christ, that he died and rose again, happens to those who believe in Christ. We die to sin, and now we know that we'll rise again. We no longer have to fear death. The reason we Christians are confident about what's going to happen to us is because we are confident that this happened to Christ, that he died and that he rose again. That's why 1 Thessalonians 4 says that Christians don't have to fear death. For the non-Christian, for the unbeliever, death is a brutal enemy that's horrifying. For the believer, for the Christian, death is no longer horrifying because Jesus Christ killed death and walked over death's dead carcass when he walked out of the tomb. Verse 14 says, because we believe this happened to Christ, we have confidence and encouragement that we no longer have to fear death. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, now death is nothing more than sleep to believers. But don't miss the first part of verse 14. Look at it and don't miss it. It says, since we believe these things. Do not miss that. Hello? Everybody here is hearing me right now. But not everyone here is believing right now. Don't miss that. If you are here and you are not a believer, I don't want to disrespect and insult you by saying everything is going to be all right and we're all going to end up in a better place. Because it won't, and we're not. The Bible is unequivocal. If we believe, we no longer need to fear death. But if you do not believe, death is coming. Death is frightful. So as I share the gospel this morning, if you don't yet believe the gospel, if you're here this morning and you're not yet a believer in the gospel, can I just ask you to ask yourself one question? Why don't you believe yet? Why don't you believe yet? What's holding you back? Some of you who are unbelievers, you don't believe because you don't really think you're that bad. Like, why would I really need a whole savior thing? I'm not that bad. You know, if you're not a believer and you don't think you're that bad, I guess I'd agree with you that we could probably open up the Bible and find a few commandments that you haven't broken. There may be some in there that you haven't broken. There are some in there that you have. But the point isn't that you're not as bad as you could possibly be. Don't kid yourself. The point is that your life doesn't belong to you. You didn't make yourself. You didn't create yourself. So every step of your feet and every blink of your eye and every love of your heart belongs to the one who made you. And none of you have lived like that. So you're not all right. And you do need a Savior. If you're here this morning and you don't yet believe the gospel, just ask yourself, you know, why don't I believe yet? And maybe the answer is, this is a pretty common answer. Maybe the answer is, it's probably true, and I'm gonna get to it. I just don't want to believe yet. I want to live my own way for a while. If that's why you're not believing, there was a guy in the Gospels who was that way. He said that he had a savings account and he had lots of stuff stored up for the future. And Jesus looked at him with love in his eyes. Jesus looked at him and with love in his eyes, Jesus said to him, "You fool. Do you not know that this night your soul will be required of you?" If you're putting it off, can I look at you with love in my eyes and say, "You fool. You don't have any guarantee that you're going to wake up tomorrow. Why would you put this off? Why would you continue in unbelief?" When the scripture says so clearly that if you believe, the fear of death can be taken away and the penalty of your sin can be paid by another. That's the good news of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 4 says it like that, that Jesus died and rose again, therefore we have confidence that we'll rise again. The good news of the gospel is presented very clearly in Scripture. There's another verse, it's in 1 Corinthians 15. And in that verse, Paul hashtags it of first importance. This is what the Word of God says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again. We've all sinned. And the Bible says that because of sin, the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, who did not deserve death, took on our sin on the cross and took our death in our place. Being buried in the tomb, having satisfied the wrath of God, having paid the penalty of death, Jesus Christ didn't stay in the tomb, but having satisfied the judgment of God, he walked out of the tomb alive. That's why when we read John 20, every time Mary says, "Where have they put him? Where have they laid him?" I want to say, no. He walked out. Because he was sinless and the penalty was paid and death got defeated that day. That's the good news of the gospel. The message of the cross is nothing less than this. All of the love and forgiveness and mercy and grace of God can be poured out on you right now. Because all of the wrath and righteous anger of God and death for sin was poured out on Jesus on the cross. That's the message of salvation. We have a substitute. But our verse in 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says that is only your salvation if you not just hear, but believe. Believe. Do you believe? Will you believe? If you are not yet believing, why not? Every unbeliever that I know conquers the fear of death with a lie. Every believer who I know has conquered the fear of death with the truth. The truth of Jesus Christ and his death. But every unbeliever I know conquers the fear of death or tries to with a lie. They say, well, I'm just a bunch of atoms that happened to be me for a little while. And the moment that I die, these atoms will disperse and I no longer will be. So I don't have to fear death because I'm not going to be there when it happens. This material body will just dissipate. But you know that's a lie. You don't really think that you're just skin and bones and blood cells. You know you have a soul. You know you do. What will you do when that soul is required of you? Where will you go? Every unbeliever I know tries to conquer the fear of death with distraction. Well, it's not going to happen. I've got a long time. And frankly, we don't know how much time we have. Something strange happened yesterday. I was on my jog, and I had to go an extra mile because of all the Cadbury cream eggs I've been eating. And small aside, Peeps are completely overrated. Cadbury cream eggs are where it's at. So I had to go around the neighborhood another time. And I came around a corner, and this has never happened before. I don't know if it's ever happened to you. It was strange, but honest, this happened. My foot was like this far from kicking a huge red-tailed hawk soaring through the air. He came from behind me, and he swooped like right in front of me. And the reason why is because there were these little brown birds right to the left of me. And I kind of think he was like using my body like as if it was a tree so they wouldn't see him coming. And he went right in front of me and he just dove for those little birds. And I want you to have a nice Easter and open up your eggs and give your grandkids jelly beans and, you know, I do. I really do. But I wouldn't be a faithful pastor if I didn't at some point in your life remind you that we are those little birds and life is fleeting. And it will be over before you know it. You do not know what your next visit to the doctor will end up with. You don't know what that next phone call will be, and you do not know that you have tomorrow. Why wouldn't you believe today? If you will believe that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, the fear of death can be taken away. So that now, because he died and rose again, in him, you can have confidence that you will rise again, because Christ has conquered death. And that's it. If that fear of death has been removed for you because you are in Christ, thank him this day for the gift of salvation. If that fear of death has not yet been removed for you because you are not yet in Christ, behold, today is the day of salvation. Be no longer unbelieving, but believe. It's as simple as that. If you are in Christ, if you have trusted in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I call you now, in the name of the living Son of God, to rejoice and believe. If you are not yet in Christ and you haven't confessed him yet as Savior and Lord, I call you now, in this moment, in the name of the living Son of God, to repent and believe, and so to be saved from sin and death. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, marvelous, mighty, and living Savior of sinners, draw all people to yourself, even now, in this hour, we pray. Amen.